Come on, pump up that sleep ring, baby.
I was going to try to switch it up, Rob. What's going on, folks? How you guys doing? Welcome to the floor. All right.
DJ Andre in the house. Heavy D.
Yeah, what's going on, folks? Yeah, welcome to Horse of Two Talking Sports with the 12th Man, your host, Robert Ford, and yours truly, Andre Peterson. We got a lot of things to go on. Couldn't start tonight, Robert, without doing a quick shout-out to Heavy D, one of the true innovators in hip-hop, just a great, talented producer, artist, rapper, actor, writer, a lot of things. But, you know, sometimes we have to pause and kind of segue into things that are going on in the world, so just wanted to give a shout out to
girls. They love me. I'm an underweight lover, Robbie. Girls, they love me. I'm the underweight lover, Robbie.
There you go.
Yes,
there
indeed. I truly, you know, all prayers go out to Heavy D and his family, and definitely a shock to the entertainment world, losing the hip hop legend. And also our prayers go out to Smokin' Joe Frazier, one of the greatest fighters of all time. We lost two great entertainers in their respective fields this week. And our prayers and thoughts definitely go out to those families. And they both will surely be missed. And they both have left a lot of great memories in their respective fields, that is. And speaking of legacies, we got another terrible tragedy situation that's taking place up at Penn State. And, you know, we're wondering how Joe Pa's legacy is going to be remembered after this terrible events that have taken place at Penn State. I mean, the guy's been there coaching since the 1960s, turning 85 years old in December. We thought he would never be retired. You know, a living legend. The guy's got a statue there at Penn State. How, those of you out there listening, if you want to comment on this, Andre, you may want to give him the number, but how will Joe Pa's legacy be remembered is a question. I mean, a very sad situation there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, for those that are calling in, the number is 424-243-9519. And yeah, like you mentioned, it's kind of shocking to see how everything unfolded. There's a lot of people that have been on both sides of the fence. I mean, some people saying that, you know, for him to go out like that, it kind of wasn't his fault. But some people are like, obviously, yeah, it was on his watch. And he definitely has to be blamed because, you know, obviously it was one of his closest coaches. So it's just one of the situations where, yeah, what does happen with his legacy? And then to follow up on that question, who's going to be the next coach in line for Penn State? I mean, I know it's kind of soon for that, but it's just one of the situations that I know we were talking earlier, we just thought he was going to resign, but now he's officially out, so the program is definitely who knows what's going to happen with that program at this juncture. So it's a very shocking story as it begins to unfold as we kind of look and see how that's going to transpire.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very interesting. I mean, you know, I know this is going to definitely tarnish Joe Pa's legacy, and obviously he's been a great football coach for many, many years, but unfortunately this is going to leave a red flag on his resume, and it's just so unfortunate, but it definitely will leave a red flag, or it's definitely going to tarnish his image and legacy, and is, like I said, it's unfortunate because he's had such a great career as a football coach. And I'm sure he's done a lot of great things, but this is definitely, unfortunately, is going to put a red flag on his image and legacy there at Penn State. And as far as coaches to replace him, I mean, there are some big names out there still. I mean, you have Rich Rodriguez. I don't think Penn State will probably go with him since another Big Ten school fired him. But, you know, I mean, I guess he's probably one of the more successful coaches are still out on the market. I understand, you know, of course, here in the New Orleans area, Tulane is even looking at Rich Rodriguez. And as a matter of fact, he was the offensive coordinator for Tulane in 1998 when Tulane went undefeated. And so, but I think, of course, Penn State would be a more lucrative job than Tulane, of course, if they were to come calling. Another coach, interesting coach that has interviewed for Tulane is, I believe, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Jeff Jasinski. He used to be the head coach at Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an offensive coordinator in the NFL for many years, too. And I know, and that's another name that you can possibly look at. He's a guy that runs a pro-style offense, as well as Rich Rodriguez runs more of a spread offense. So, I mean, that's another name that Penn State could possibly look at out there. And I'm sure there's probably a few coaches. I mean, I'm surprised no one has tried to take Peterson away from Boise State yet. I mean, if I'm running a top-notch program, that would be still one of the first guys I would call. I mean, what he's done at Boise State has been incredible. And I just still think if the right offer comes from a big-time program, it seems like he would leave Boise State. But, I mean, that just seems like the guy that I would call. I mean, Penn State could have a good chance of luring him. A school like Tulane won't be able to lure him away from Boise State, of course. But, yeah, I don't know what your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, every time you hear about Chris Peterson, the way that you hear is he is happy where he's at. Now, obviously, you know, we talk about money, but they keep saying that this is kind of where he wants to be, and all the schools have been calling him. I mean, Georgia, they're like salivating to get this guy after, you know, if anything happens with Mark Richt. But, you know, obviously, like you said, Penn State is a big program. We'll see what happens. I've also heard Urban Meyer as a name too, but I'm sure you know Ohio State is going to probably battle that one. But you know, just it's just interesting, and like you said, it's going to be we'll keep an eye on this as the show goes on in the next couple of weeks too, because I'm sure this is going to be a very interesting story as it continues to develop too. But like you said, kind of feel sorry that
Joe
Powell
went
out.
John Gruden?
I like John Gruden too. I mean, he had an opportunity with Miami. I don't know if it was more or less he didn't think it was a big enough program, but. Like you said, that's a great, interesting name, too. So anytime you're replacing a legend, it's pretty tough. But, you know, I think John Gruden could pull it off if you will, too. So, yeah, good names, good names.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, while we're
cool.
on college
like
football
said.
Here, let's kind of recap the game of the century, LSU-Alabama, and let's get to previewing a couple of big games for this upcoming weekend. My question to you, LSU-Alabama. Was it the game of the century, or was it just overhyped?
I definitely think it was the game of the century. Now, granted, you may have more of an insight being an LSU fan, and congrats, like I told you on the phone. And before I get started, I know like a lot of people have said the first thing that I would do if I'm a college coach is give a scholarship to a kicker, because you know, special teams always play an important part, and obviously your guy missing that many kicks, I know they were kind of tough kicks too, but it definitely lived up to it. Very physical, very intense game. And both offenses were scoring, in the high 39s, and they come in and they were just settled by field goals in overtime. It was just an amazing amazing stat. But, you know, obviously from your perspective, you know, Jordan Jefferson made a difference too, because Jared Lee threw a couple of interceptions, and then, you know, right there, Les Miles made the change. Got to give him credit. Putting in Jordan Jefferson, had a little bit more mobility, if you will. Able to get out some stuff and make some plays. And lucky Les, once again, the fact that he's kind of an unconventional coach has seemed to always undermine Nick Saban, it seems like. So go ahead and get your thoughts being an LSU guy, Rob.
Yes, I mean, I know there's a I thought it was a great game, great hard-hitting game. I thought it was a great game of two great defenses. And like you said, I think both teams played outstanding defense in that game. I thought the difference was the special teams. LSU was definitely stronger in the special teams department, not only in field goal kicking, but also in punting. I mean, LSU, Brad Wing, might be one of the best punters in the country. He controlled the field position throughout the game. And, you know, and those missed field goals by Alabama, those were all long kicks. I mean, I think they were all from like 47 to 55 yards. So none of those kicks was gimmies. Alabama actually only got inside of LSU's 20 one time the whole night. And they only got past LSU's 30-yard line one time, whereas LSU actually got inside of Alabama's 10-yard line three times. And but unfortunately, LSU had to settle for three field goals all three times. So, but I think LSU was a little bit more conservative in that game than Alabama. That was a little discouraging. I think they had to open it up a little bit with Jefferson. And I personally believe that Jefferson should be the starter this coming Saturday, but we'll have to wait and see. What I think Jared Lee played scared in that game, throwing off his back foot. And he's been getting away with that a lot this year, throwing off his back foot, but it didn't work against Alabama. And I just think that Jefferson should be the starter come this Saturday. And Les Miles keeps saying, as of right now, as of today, he's still undecided. But just my personal opinion, I think they should go with Jordan Jefferson. And the reason why I ask, you know, did you think it was a game of the century or was it overhyped, is there are a lot of national pundits or, you know, national writers or national analysts. They're not all, but some are saying, you know, was it great defense or bad offense? And what I, you know, what's kind of confusing to me was that have these analysts watched these two offenses play prior to this game? Both of these teams were scoring 30, 40 some points every week. I don't think neither team has a great quarterback. I mean, they have adequate quarterbacks, but both teams have dominant offensive lines, and they have great running games, and they have very good skill position players. So they're capable of scoring 30, 40 some points every week. And so, that's why I think it was. Should be considered as a great game because you had defenses that held these two teams to 9 and 6 points and went to overtime too, which was unbelievable. And I just think a lot of national pundits just forgot about how many points these teams were scoring prior to this particular game.
Yeah, great points too. And, you know, like I said, I guess the follow-up question is, as an LSU fan, do you want to see Alabama again, or do you feel like you should get another shot to play a different team? BCS championship.
I want to see the best two teams in a national championship game based on the, you know, whoever the best. I think by the end of the year, if the system is going to play itself out. And if LSU and Alabama are clearly have the best resumes, then yes, they should play again for the national championship. Both teams still has a lot of work. And LSU, for example, I mean, you know, of course, you got Western Kentucky, you got Ole Miss. You got Arkansas, so you talk about a team that always plays LSU tough. They have high-powered offense, and so LSU still has some unfinished business. You know, you win all those games, you still have to play the SEC championship game. I mean, Georgia's a red-hot team right now, if that's the team that they will play with a hot quarterback, and the game's in Atlanta, too, so it's almost like a home game. For Georgia. So LSU still has some unfinished business themselves they have to take care of. Alabama still has Auburn. Oklahoma State still has Oklahoma. Stanford has Oregon this weekend. I guess we can kind of lead us right into a preview in this upcoming weekend's games. We got four top 25 matchups this weekend. And right at the top, the game of the week, Oregon at Stanford. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, like you said, a lot of people are predicting that Oregon is going to actually slightly upset Stanford. Now, I'm not sure about that. I think that Stanford's going to pull it out. I think that Oregon definitely has enough firepower, but I think it's going to be a great game. I think obviously with luck, he has an opportunity to kind of lock up the Heisman, if you will. So I'm kind of leaning for Stanford to kind of win it in a pretty high scoring game, if you will. So. Maybe not as similar as what happened with USC, but I think that it's going to be a very high-scoring game. What about you? What do you think about
I
that?
Totally agree with you. My thoughts are very similar, and I'm looking at a high-scoring game. I think Stanford wins, and may even be another shootout what we have between Stanford and USC.
I think
you may see a Stanford win by about 3 points, 3 to 7 point victory, but I think it's going to be a close game, high scoring game. I think both teams are going to have trouble defending the other, and but I think Stanford ekes this win out. And all indications are if Stanford wins this game, they're going to jump Alabama in the BCS. But, you know, even with that being said, Stanford still will have some tough games. They still have to play Cal, which is their arch rival. They still have to play Notre Dame and a Pac-12 championship game, which will probably be against Arizona State or UCLA. So it'll still be some unfinished business. And so a lot of these teams still has a lot of unfinished business before all this BCS stuff kind of shakes out. The next best game on the weekend, in my opinion, is a game that you'll be very interested in. Number 10, ViTech, Virginia Tech at 21, Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited, guys. Obviously, being a Georgia Tech fan, I got to jump on that one. It's interesting because the way that we played Clemson, that was great. I know it's in the past. We're excited about that. This is another big opportunity for us to make a move in the Coastal Division, if you will. They are ranked number 10th. And I think that we can pull this out, too, being at home. We just have to ride that momentum and keep our eyes focused on the prize because kind of similar to what happened with Clemson, I'm sure most people may not be giving us opportunity. Or if we're starting to read our press clippings and thinking that we're a lot better than we are, so we have to keep that edge. Hopefully we'll be able to pull it out versus a very, talented Virginia Tech team, not as talented as they were in the past, too. So that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Hopefully we can win by 7 points or so. At least that's what I'm predicting.
I'm agreeing with you again on this one. I'm actually picking Georgia Tech to win this game. And I know Virginia Tech has had a week and a half to prepare for that triple option, and they've seen it before. But I think having that home crowd, I like Georgia Tech. I think this game is going to be real close, though. I'm looking at a 3 to 7 point kind of victory, just as you mentioned. I think Georgia Tech is going to win this game, and they should be sitting pretty and may have a rematch against Clemson possibly for the ACC championship game. And where is that game being played, by the way?
Who?
The ACC championship game this year.
It used to be in Miami, right? I'm not sure where that's at.
Well, they rotate it every year. I think it kind of goes from Jacksonville
North Carolina,
to Charlotte
Jacksonville,
to Tampa.
Yeah. I think it may be in Charlotte this year, but I'll verify that. Obviously, next time we get
we'll have that answer next week.
yeah. Good job and with that.
The next game we have here is number 19, Nebraska. We mentioned this at number 12, Penn State.
Wow. Yeah, unfortunately for Penn State, your days are getting even worse because I think that just all the drama that's going on, either it's going to be a situation where they're going to rally or they're going to kind of be flat. So Nebraska is very talented, as we know. So, it's at Penn State. That's one thing that they have going for them, too. But it may be too much distractions for them. So I'm kind of leaning towards Nebraska in this one.
We're on the same page so far with all of our predictions. My feelings are exactly the same. I think there's just going to be too much distraction surrounding the Penn State program. The head coach won't be there. We don't know who's going to be the interim head coach unless they've already named them. But I like Nebraska to win this game.
That's why you've got about 11 minutes left, so I don't know if you want to jump into pros or you want to like kind of continue with the last one, Auburn at Georgia. That's the last one I had.
Yeah, we can kind of close out college football with Auburn at Georgia, and that's the last top 25 matchups between two top 25 teams, 20-ranked Auburn at 15-ranked Georgia, and I definitely like Georgia in this game. I think Auburn is kind of weak at the quarterback position, and I don't think they're going to be able to put up that many points against Georgia, and I might even say Georgia might win this game by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, we're same page of thing. Same thing, Georgia should roll versus Auburn.
Now we can jump to some pro football here. I think for those of you who may be listening around the country, and Lavondre, you want to go ahead and give them the number again?
It is 424-395-19. Trying to be fast on the draw for you, Robert, since we're kind of getting low on time here, but go ahead, I'll let you finish up.
Yeah, for those of you who are around the country that may not know how big this rivalry is in the NFL, but I think it's one of the best-kept secrets in the country. The Saints at the Falcons this weekend in Atlanta is the oldest NFL rivalry in the South, dating back to 1967. And I just don't think a lot of people around the country realize how big this rivalry is and has become. And it seems like it's getting bigger and bigger as both teams are very competitive. And the last three times these teams have met, the games have all been decided by 3 points.
Yep.
And first place is on the line this Sunday. 6-3 Saints at 5-3 Atlanta. And for those of you all who may be listening for the first time, of course, I'm a diehard Saints fan. Andre is a diehard Falcon fan. And we're doing a radio show together. Can you believe it?
How is that even possible, number one? I'm sure everyone's probably thinking, yeah, we'll be friends until Sunday. No, it's all good. You know, obviously have a hell of a – definitely.
I don't even think we have to pick this game because I think everybody knows who we're going to pick.
Yeah, you're hopefully –
but you can go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's great. No, it's, like I said, as mentioned, you know, obviously I have a healthy respect for the Saints. Any news on Mark Ingram, by the way, is he still going to be out?
Well, he was limited in practice today. So he practiced on a limited basis today. So so don't know if he's going to be ready to play as of yet. He was limited. Chris Ivory was also limited. But I think you'll see at least one of those guys play along with Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles. But it's definitely going to – definitely two teams that are both playing well right now. Atlanta's won 3 in a row, and both teams definitely have a high respect for one another, but there's also a little taste that they don't like each other either.
And I think it's interesting, too, as I'll let you have a little segment on your Saints, I'll have a little segment on my Falcons. One thing, very, very pleased with the development of Julio Jones. Obviously, he's starting to come into his own, had a great game last week, 2 touchdowns, 150-something yards versus versus the hapless Colts, if you will. Obviously we want to run the ball, but having a weapon like Julio is definitely going to be something that we have strived to compete because, obviously, we still hold the Green Bay game in the back of our minds. We have to get more explosive offensively and even to match up against the Saints. So that's why we went out and grabbed a playmaker like Julio. So we're going to run the ball. But having a weapon like Julio is going to help us out, and obviously we have to match – keep you guys honest, obviously keep you guys off the field and all that jazz.
Yes, I definitely have been very impressed with Julio Jones. And of course, you being a bigger Falcon fan, you may be able to comment on this more than I have, but it almost seems to me like he's becoming Matt Ryan's favorite target, even more so than Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez. I mean, I could be wrong in that department, but it just seems like they are developing a niche. And it looked like Julio Jones is becoming like his number one target, and from the looks of it, he looks to be a little bit more athletic than Roddy White is too. But I could be totally wrong. That's just from my observation. But I've definitely been very impressed with his performance, and so the Saints are definitely going to have to be ready. You know, I know Patrick Robinson and Tracy Porter missed practice for the Saints today, so we're going to have to get those guys healthy because we're going to need some cornerbacks to play against those guys this coming Sunday. But definitely a game that we as Saints respect the Falcons and you all respect the Saints, so it should be an interesting game. And I just think that this rivalry just doesn't get as much attention as some of the other rivalries around the country like it should.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. We've got 5 minutes to go, Rob. Go ahead and highlight the other big games.
Some of the other games.
Interesting
game that I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend. I think a team that's kind of flying under the radar so far this year is the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're 6-2. Marvin Lewis is doing an incredible coaching job this year with a rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver. The question mark remains is have they played anyone tough yet? And so this weekend, they get their first real test. I don't think they've played Pittsburgh or Baltimore yet this year. And so this week, they're at home against Pittsburgh. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game. I'm not going to lie. Now, if you're a young team, you kind of I kind of reminds me of Tampa Bay. You don't know any better, so you're going to try to you're going to play a little bit bigger. But obviously, I think Pittsburgh is going to be able to stop them because they're used to stopping high powered offenses. So I think it's going to be a tough challenge, and I think that Cincinnati may lose this game, but not because of a lack of effort, but more or less because they're running into more of a team that's kind of used to playing that, maybe a little more physical, and they, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good test for them, but I think that Pittsburgh is going to pull that one out.
Yeah, I kind of have the same feelings there. Even though Cincinnati's at home, a lot of people don't realize this coming into this past weekend. Cincinnati has the number one ranked defense in the NFL, so but you got to once again give Marvin Lewis a lot of credit. But like I said, there's still that question mark: have they played anyone? And even though they're at home, I just kind of feel like Pittsburgh's going to win this game. They're going to have a nasty taste in their mouth after losing to Baltimore past week. A big NFC matchup this weekend, the 6-2 New York Giants at the 7-1 San Francisco 49ers.
Great game.
San Francisco, as of right now, they will be the number 2 seed in the NFC, and the Giants will be the number 3 seed in the NFC right now if the playoffs started today. So this was a huge game at San Francisco. What's your thoughts on that one?
Great game as well. I mean, a couple of things that you want to point out. Obviously, the 49ers have been playing absolutely great defense. But they were running into a Giants team that can rush the passer. The Giants are kind of are very high coming off of a very mostly charged game versus the Patriots. So, they're not scared of anything right now. Eli's playing great.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of confidence as well. The only reason why I would sort of lean towards San Francisco is because, I'm thinking that that's kind of tough, Rob. I'm not going to say Eli's going to make some mistakes, but that's kind of where I'm thinking of, too. I mean, it's tough whenever you have a team like the Giants that can rush the passer. 49ers have a great running game with Frank Gore. It's kind of similar to the LSU-Alabama game because, you got pretty good defenses, if you will. I may give the slight edge to the 49ers in this one.
I like the 49ers as well. I think you made some good points there. I think the running game of the 49ers is kind of going to neutralize that pass rush a little bit. They're going to hit him with Frank Gore up the middle. They may try to hit him with some quick tight end passes to Vernon Davis. And I think their defense is very good, and a lot of people are not talking about them, but I like the 49ers in this game. Could be a really close one, but I think they're going to pull it out at home as well. So, yeah, I definitely like the 49ers to pull this one out as well. Another intriguing matchup, NFC North. Right now you got the 49ers. You have the Packers, of course, is running away with it. And clearly right now the Packers look clearly like the best team in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. And but right underneath Green Bay, you got two winning teams, Detroit and Chicago, believe it or not, has worked their way back up to 5-3 after getting off to a little bit of a rough start. Chicago at home against Detroit.
Now, this is one that I was kind of like agonizing over because if you're, Detroit got them the first time, if you will. Now they're playing at Chicago. This is going to be a very tough game for Detroit. Detroit had, Chicago had that good win versus Philadelphia. They're playing with a lot of swagger, stopping a great Philadelphia team with Michael Vick and obviously the explosive weapons that they have. So, I'm kind of torn on this one, too. I know Detroit has Calvin Johnson, and, that's what it is. But you're playing at Chicago, so I'm kind of leaning towards Chicago on this one. It's going to be a tough game. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I agree with you there. I'm going to go with the Bears as well. I mean, Javid Best looked like he may be out again as well this week.
Yeah.
And the Bears seems as they're protecting Jay Cutler a lot better. And Matt Forte might be having the best year of any running back in the NFL this year. And he's a homeboy. He's a New Orleans native, by the way, too. And one last game before we wrap up the show, New England at the Jets. We know this is a heated rivalry.
Yeah, I think this is Rex Ryan's personal Super Bowl. I think Patriots are going to be mad. They're going to take it. That's me.
Okay, I'm going to pick the Jets at home. It looks like the New England's defense is weaker than they have been in the years. Their secondary has been getting exploited. The Jets are at home. I'm going to pick the Jets during this one.
Yeah,
I'm going to pick the Patriots to lose their third game in a row.
Wow. Well, there you have it, folks. Once again, we want to thank you guys for joining us for Talking Sports with the 12th Man. If you dropped off, that's okay. We're here every Wednesday. We try to get here every Wednesday at the same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central Time. As always, I want to thank Robert Ford for his knowledge. We always seem to just get so caught up in talking about the events of the day. We may not get a chance to get all the all of our thoughts in there, but, you know, tune in, and we appreciate the calls and all that stuff. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Next week we're going to preview, obviously, the Stanford and Oregon rematches. Hopefully Georgia Tech is going to pull out a victory versus Virginia Tech, and recap a lot of games versus the NFL and see how Penn State does. Any last thoughts, Robert Ford?
And for those of you all living in Hawaii, that's 5 p.m. Hawaiian next week. Tune in, baby.
I love it. I love it. Good job, folks. Man, I think it's still going to cut us off. I don't think we're live after that. I think it cuts us off officially, too.
Oh, okay.
I think it cuts us off, too. So it's like, hey, we're cool, kind of like just filling space. This is for the archive.
Yeah, hopefully
shows.
I didn't talk too much tonight. I kind of felt a little lively. Hopefully I didn't talk too much tonight.
No, I love it, man. You know, take the lead, man. I'll sit back and let you do what you got to do because sometimes I'll need that, and sure, there's times whenever you'll let me lead. So it's totally fine, man.
Yeah.
Totally fine. That was good, man. That was good. Like I said, I'm telling you, time
always I had notes
flies,
in front of
man.
Me tonight, too.
I mean, I had notes, too.
Oh, yeah.
I had the exact same games, and what I had that I thought was interesting was Arizona at Philadelphia. I know Kevin Cobb wanted to go back and play versus Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk to that.
That was the one that that I had down, but everything else was exactly the same. I had the exact same games. Mm-hmm. I had the same thing about Joe Powell, what's next for him. Chris Peterson, I had a note about that, but, you know, it was interesting how I was hoping that we were going to get a chance to get to all this stuff, but, you know, you keep it on
we
the clock.
We covered a lot. We kind of went by in 30 minutes real fast tonight. I think we covered a lot tonight.
Yeah, it's tough to hit Joe Powell.
I think more than normal.
You know? Yeah, but I knew if we had about 15 or so minutes to kind of, you know, we were probably about 12 minutes left for NFL, which is probably,
I can't believe that actually got me some singing on the internet.
What? Got you what?
I guess on the World Wide Web, they got some, they got me singing on the World Wide Web now.
I think it's good that even though you stole that, man, Andre P, but that's okay. I'll let you live with that, man.
Yeah, I know. I said, Robbie.
what did Gina say? Did she like that?
She laughed.
Oh, man, that's good stuff, man. Yeah, like I said, man, it was good, man. You were lively, man. Sometimes it's good to have that, definitely. I mean, it's very well encouraged, man. So I never want to, I always got to encourage you, man. Do what you got to do, man. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah,
I'm curious to see how it's funny whenever we do the shows and we'll have to go back and listen to them and say what we were thinking about because
eventually we got to start putting these on a DVD, CD, not a DVD, and start shipping them around the radio stations around the country.
I got to get more and more polished, man, at certain things, too. But other than that, yeah, I think you're right. You know, the more that we do it, we get comfortable. And I know we don't really have that. I don't know if there's, like, a delay whenever we talk, too, but more or less, like, kind of catching in and kind of flowing. But, yeah, I think it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we got to find a way to do that. And, like I said, if you want to take the lead and actually putting them together on the CD and then – I can take the lead as far as getting them shipped out to various radio stations.
Okay.
And, you know, sending letters and everything with them.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. Oh, Marcy likes the post. That's awesome. Just Marcy liking it. Okay.
Oh, yeah? She listened to the show?
I think she listened in. She's like, why are you guys talking about Tebow? I'm like, man, Tebow, man. That dude. He's got us all fooled. I like him as a person. I like what he stands for too, but he's got to get like a lot better. So that's neither here nor there too. But it is good. It's good. I promise.
Yeah.
Good deal. Yeah. All right, man. Like I said, good show. I'll start putting those links together. You'll be here tomorrow, but hit me up as far as I mentioned about Friday, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, we might be able to hook up on Friday, but I'll let you know. But like I said, I was definitely planning on doing Sunday evening.
Okay. Good
yeah.
deal. Good deal, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, Chief. We can kind of do something casual. Gina likes Cheesecake Factory. That might be a little bit out of y'all way, or we can meet at Copeland's or something. Either one.
Cheesecake Factory right by Cumberland Mall.
Oh, there's one right there? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I don't know where you guys are going to be. I don't want to like make you guys come along. I'm not sure.
No, that'll be fine. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do something like that, or we can do Copeland's. You know, something you know, not too fancy, just casual kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I know she likes these salmon things they do for an appetizer.
Wow.
If we
okay.
have cheesecake. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, some kind of salmon rolls or something they do. Yeah, it's on my food album.
I love it. Robert is keeping track of all that. That's great, man. Yeah, it's like, just give me a heads up whenever you get in, and we'll make it work from there.
Okay, T. All right.
All right, we'll talk, man.
Y'all have a good night. Okay, all right.
You too. All right, bye.
All right.